tragedy all around us, difficulties. Where is God? Where is the church? And can Pokemon help? Believe it or not, we're going to connect those dots. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, and that's what we try to do. Connect those dots, and I'm inviting you to do it with us. Episode number 423 of The Next Step.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready, we're taking the next step.
Well, how do you do? I hope it's a good one for you today. It has been a wild week, with, for lack of a better word, a wild week in many respects, not only for myself, but of course for our country, for a lot of people throughout the world, wondering what's going on. I'm going to be sharing a lot of it with you today, giving you some thoughts to reflect upon. Yes, and we will touch upon Pokemon Go too. Actually, more to it than you might think, and I'm going to be connecting some dots that I think implications for us within the church as well as outside of the church, what it's all about, maybe why you are outside of the church. Yes, Pokemon should explain that. I am recording from the Glendale studio, what we call affectionately Apostle West. It's going to be mine for just a few more weeks. I'm transitioning and moving on and I've gotten used to this small little studio over here. It's been the center for our last 9 years, things are moving forward. So anyway, I'm recording here. It's a beautiful day. I hope it's beautiful wherever you're at, and you're going to enjoy these few moments that we are together. First of all, let me begin by saying I'm sorry we did not make it out to Seattle. As promised, yes, I know last week I said we were going to be up there for the weekend, but things do come up, and things did come up, and unfortunately, we did not have a chance to get out there and visit with you, and we were looking forward to celebrating the Divine Liturgy at the Holy Resurrection Armenian Church, but things came up, and hopefully, let's just leave it at that. Yes, and I did find out a lot about intolerance, both the airlines and the hotel reservations. Yeah, they're not so keen on last-minute cancellations, but we had to do what we had to do. And hopefully there'll be a chance in the near future for me to be back up there and to celebrate some good things, as well as the Divine Liturgy and the relationship that we've had through the years via this podcast. Now, along those same lines, there is an expression in Armenian. It's Khelkes Gegena. Literally, it means my brain will stop. You know, when you see something awesome, I love that word awesome because it translates exactly in Armenian, ahavor. It's like, it's tremendous. It's like you're left in awe. You're going, ah. Last night we had a chance to see an awesome presentation. It was the work of Edward Dare Ghazaryan. He had done miniatures. Now, I had seen this exhibit in Yerevan back in the 1970s when I was a seminarian at Etchmiadzin. They took us in a group, and we went to his gallery where some of this was on exhibit, some because obviously 40 years ago it was his grandfather who was doing it. Now his grandson has continued on this beautiful art. It's basically creating these miniatures. I don't know how else to explain it. Miniatures, no, it's not like a Shetland pony or something like that. These are tiny, tiny little miniatures where he has constructed an Armenian cross stone, or the three ships that Christopher Columbus sailed on, the Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria, or Etchmiadzin in itself. He's created them in the eye of a needle. That's how tiny it is. And in detail, I'm looking at one cross stone, which not only Khachkar, and it not only has the cross in it in detail, but around it has the 36 letters of the Armenian alphabet. So you can imagine how tiny that must be to fit inside of the eye of a needle. And it's a mind blower. My brain stopped. You're looking at it and you're going, oh, how is this done? And this was on exhibit at the Western Diocese headquarters. If you happen to get this podcast today in time, you might have a chance to run out there and see it, but I doubt it, considering our timing today on getting the podcast out. But I will have a link on today's show notes so you can check out some of his work. Also, it's up on my Facebook page. I put the iPhone right on there and I took a picture. I didn't think it was going to happen. Actually, I tried unsuccessfully a couple times. Then my wife, Susan, she has a knack for these iPhone pictures. She put the iPhone right on top of the lens because you have to see these miniatures via these microscopes that have been set up. Maybe about 50 of them, I'd say. 50 of these miniatures were on exhibit, so they have these 50 microscope-style lenses attached to them so you can see them. I mean, imagine all of Etchmiadzin within the eye of a needle. I mean, we're talking about millimeters. Millimeters. Tiny, tiny, tiny little things. Anyway, it was a mind blower, but to me it was even more. It was the human spirit. I mean, what gets somebody to do something like this? It's that human creative process. And I think that speaks to the language of God. And that's where I want to go with this today, because as you know, here in this country, we are in turmoil, not only because of the election process, nominating two people who seemingly are incompetent, but wondering where the country's going as a whole, given the cultural standards and what's around, and especially the lack of God. And you know, I don't blame anybody for walking away from God, given the political and cultural climate that's out there. Remember a few weeks ago, I shared with you the idea of the props, how many times as priests, they put us up as props. Well, this past week, we had this horrible tragedy here in the United States, in Dallas, Texas. There were 11 or 12 policemen shot. They were ambushed, and they were shot, killed, for no reason other than they happened to be policemen, and they happened to be white. Racially motivated shootings. And of course, this was on the back of other shootings, which they claim were racially motivated as well, shootings of black men. And there was a Black Lives Matter protest taking place in Dallas, Texas. And there the policemen were making sure that people had the right to protest. And that's one of the beautiful things here in the United States, that the average citizen has a right to protest. I've shared this story with you many times. Back when I was a seminarian back in the Soviet Union, I had an opportunity to talk to somebody, and he was telling me, well, there's no difference between the Soviet Union and the United States. And I said, well, what about freedom? And he says, we have freedom over here. He says, are you free to criticize your president? At that time, it was Jimmy Carter, the president of the United States. And I said, of course we are. We can criticize in print and in speech. He said, can you say Jimmy Carter is an idiot? And he said, and I said, of course, you can get up and you can say that. That is your right of freedom of speech. He says, well, we have the same freedom over here. Now, this is in Gorbachev's Soviet Union, right? And so I was waiting for him to say what the next sentence was going to be. He says, we have the right too. He says, I could get up and say Jimmy Carter is an idiot. And it brought the point home exactly. Like, yeah, you know, you don't have that freedom everywhere. You don't have that freedom. You can criticize on the outside, but here in America, you have that right to protest as well. And as we know, during the last, at least in my lifetime, the power of that protest, whether it was Vietnam, civil rights, and throughout the years, seeing countless different protests, and the way it brings about change. And so this Black Lives Matter campaign has been going on for several months right now, and it was going on in the form of a protest in Dallas, Texas, last weekend. And the policemen were protecting the rights of the protesters when shots rang out, and I can't remember if it was 11 or 12 policemen were shot, and five of them were killed. Like I said, ambushed, no other reason except they were white and they were policemen. This has sparked a lot of discussion about racial tensions here in the United States. And it signals another, yet one more weakening of the moral fabric that we have over here. And I hate, you know me, I hate talking about moral fabrics because I think that they are, I don't want to use the word relative haphazardly, but I do believe that they are relative for different people. There are different standards, and there are some absolutes that you have in life, and namely, the taking of life has to rank way up there in those absolutes. So these policemen were shot, they were killed, there was all kinds of talk and pundits talking about what this means, what this is about, as I am talking about it right here, talked about it within church circles as well. But here's what was interesting. They just a couple days ago, they had a memorial service in Dallas, Texas. And I will make sure that there's a link on today's show notes to that service. It's a YouTube video. Do check it out. What you'll see in that video is a couple things. First of all, just a beautiful, beautiful sentiments from the chief of police who quoted Stevie Wonder. And it was interesting because he used the lyrics of Stevie Wonder's song to express what he was feeling. You know, so many times you are at a loss for words. And you have to appeal to who? To the poet, to the artist, for him or her to give you those words, those sentiments. And I think that the chief of police reflected that in his comments by quoting Stevie Wonder, great musician, poet really, poet in his writings. There are two presidents, former President Bush who spoke, and current President Barack Obama, both of whom just brought it together very beautifully, eloquently. But once again, we saw the religious leaders in that position that I shared with you a few months ago of being those props in the play. In other words, come up and say a prayer. And so they had this wonderful lady, evangelical Christian, who got up and just a heartfelt prayer. She said it. Now, to balance it off, and this is exactly what it is, it's the balance that they need to find. They brought in a Muslim cleric who said a prayer, I guess for his community, although if you think about it, it's a prayer to God. And then they brought in a Jewish rabbi to say a prayer for his community, or if you think about it, to God, right? So it's basically, okay, you are the props in the play. Here is your portion. Here's your time slot. Come in and say the prayer. And now that we're done, we'll all say amen together. And now let's move on and hear the speeches that will console, that will comfort, rather than thinking that those prayers really should be the comfort. Last Monday, I was called to a house. One of the elderly people living there had expired, and his daughter called me and said, would you offer a prayer? And I went over there, and she explained that many family members were out of the country on vacation. And would it be okay if we prolonged the funeral service and did it, you know, a couple weeks later? An interesting question, right? Do you have to have a funeral immediately? I guess in the olden times they did, right? And it's still in many countries they do. They do it the following day. It's probably because of disease control, because of improper refrigeration units. But today, with the amenities that first world countries give you, you can prolong funerals. I think the longest that I've waited, it was actually a couple of years ago, was 90 days. It was 3 months later till they could get the entire family together. Yeah, this is true. 3 months later. But anyway, she asked, would it be okay if we prolonged the funeral and we didn't have the funeral for a couple of weeks? And I said, well, of course. Of course, the funeral is not about the dead person. The dead person came and has now left this world. Nothing we do will affect that life. The funeral is there for our comfort, for us to be comforted. And having those family members there for the funeral definitely plays into the comfort level. So why not? Why wouldn't you wait? Why wouldn't you wait until the entire family could get together? And in the same way, I'm watching this service. And these police officers were murdered. Nothing we do will change that reality. What we do need to do is talk to the times today and share and comfort one another. Give the strength to make sense out of the absurdity of that condition. Now, the politicians did that. The politicians did that. And we keep appealing to the politicians. We want them to be able to be the spokespeople. Think about it. They're in charge of running a country, basically running a giant business that has all different aspects to it, nuances to it. But we keep appealing to them for them to make sense out of the senseless. And we take these clergies, these clerics, and we put them up on a stage and we say, okay, here's your time slot. Now, when do we move on and we say that, hey, the cleric, by virtue of his title, by virtue of his ordination, has some kind of connection to something beyond this life? Perhaps we can look to these clerics, for example. Now, Martin Luther King Jr., that's why I always mention, when I mention his name, I always add that he was a reverend, Dr. Martin Luther King. In other words, he was a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, he had the ability to articulate not only that, but to connect the dots, to understand the situation, the absurdity of a life, absurdity of having a population that were being discriminated against just by virtue of their skin color, and then put it in context of the bigger picture of God's children. That we were all God's children. That it is absurdity when you look at it. Because we're all creations of God. How dare we delineate? How dare we set up these boundaries? And he gave us an understanding. And we expect that. I think that's the expectation for me. That's the expectation from clergy. For clergy to be able to connect those dots. For clergy to look at a situation and say, it is absurd, all these things that are happening. But here is a higher level of life that we can look to and we need to look to. And sure enough, the politicians did a great job of that, I think. When you listen to their speeches, they brought together the community. It would just be wonderful if the clergy did that as well. Now, along those same lines, last week, we're doing this series, which if you follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, you know I never post these because I really am really doing it because I've been asked to do them. It's called the AC 101, Armenian Church 101. It's just some basic information about the Armenian Church done in a fun way. And last week we had an episode. They're like 3, 4, 5 minutes long. Last week we had an episode that addressed Vartavar or the Transfiguration. And I put it up on YouTube on our Madhoxi channel. You'll have a chance to look at it. We'll have a link on it. But they belong to the Western Diocese, and the Western Diocese of the Armenian Church puts it up on their Facebook page, and it's native to Facebook. So, in other words, it gets all the hits. And it was another viral one. I think the one before it, we had like 20,000 hits. This one was somewhere in the teens, teen thousands, people looking at it and commenting on it. And then, sure enough, you had people looking at it and saying, well, Vartavar, it's not in the Bible, therefore I don't believe it. What? Can you imagine somebody else got up and said, what are those images of a blue-eyed Jesus? How about some more ethnic Jesuses or Orthodox Jesuses? Did you know that? I always knew there were ethnic Jesuses, but now we've got Orthodox Jesuses. And I guess blue-eyed doesn't fit into the Orthodox Jesuses too. This is what people were talking about. Not all of them, but a few, okay? And then we had some atheists that picked up the feed and said, how dare we do it? Because they call St. Gregory the Illuminator, St. Gregory the Darkener. Because when St. Gregory came to Armenia, he darkened what life we did have. I mean, just nonsense that historically doesn't even hold together. But anyway, it's these cheap shots that they're taking towards religion. Now, I understand this. Everybody has their position. They have their opinion. But, you know, if you don't believe in something, you don't need to knock it. How about just letting it go? And so here we are. We've got done this AC 101 series. People are criticizing it, not for the content. Actually, and they were criticizing some for the makeup. Actually, I think the film editor who does it, his name is Aram. Fantastic guy. I think it's a lot of creative genius that goes into it. But people are criticizing it because of what they believe, their preconceived notion of what religion should be. And where do they get that notion? Where do they understand that where do they get that preconception from? Well, believe it or not, it's the clergy that give it to them. It's that line of clergy, the props, who are not engaged in daily life of people, but rather are seen as a prop. Now, I'm pleased to say, within the Armenian Church, and definitely you'll see that in the Catholic Church with the election of Pope Francis, but today in the Armenian Church, the caliber of clergy that's coming out and their ability to let their hair down, quote unquote, is happening. Not at the pace that I'd like to see it, but it is happening. And that, to me, is a sign of the good things to come. So I throw this out at you. You know, a lot of times when we think about why is God absent, why is God being alienated, you don't have to look too far. Sometimes people have made God absent from our lives because we are not connecting the dots. Everything belongs to God. Every life belongs to God. And the respect that we have towards that life is a respect towards God. Listen, I'm going to take a break right now. Just got queued up that we have the song today. We're going to listen to Hermine Tumanyan. Yeah. An artist. I'll be back in a couple moments. Enjoy.
Gnatsar artık ne tırınç var. İmelin armazırı tine, duan gines kemada, lakızı merni varen, çok taktı tümler garen, arxorot kafknaklu. Jurarari marmar karen, matagni kazi mare. Jurarari batri xaren, matagni kazi. So astan artenela vergatir duha kirhala şağabati vren hala bulbulitsen dura Vivlanuş yerket bırta İmelinar marak nega Verugna marmarak bu Curaradi pantrik saren Matagirni kızı Curaradi marmar karen Matagirni kızı
Hermine Tumanyan is the featured artist today off of a CD bearing the same name, Hermine Tumanyan. I'll have a link on today's show notes. You can check out all the great music that she's got out there. And like I always say, do support these artists. It's a beautiful world and they make it even more beautiful. It's really up to us to support this kind of art.
Well, don't you fret, don't you fear, I will give you good cheer. Life's a long song.
Okay, well, I promised that I would talk about Pokemon. Now, wait, before you tune out this next section and say, okay, Father Voskin's going to be talking about some kind of game on the phone. You're only partially right. Do bear with me. Don't you fret. Don't you fear. I will give you good cheer, okay? Trust me on this one. Because just a couple nights ago, I guess you've heard about it. It's taken the world by storm. I think is it Nintendo? Whoever developed it, their stock soared 15% since they released this app for your phone. And basically, a few nights ago, we're walking around. You know, we take our daily walk. We used to do it in the mornings, but it's kind of hot, so we're doing them in the evenings. And we went to the park, and there are people walking around with their cell phone. And their cell phone is on. So quickly, I went to my resident guru on these things, my son Sevan, who was of age when Pokemon first came out and was a big fan. I said, Sevan, what's going on with this? And subsequently, my son Christopher knew a lot more, too. So between the two of them, we downloaded the app and saw what it's all about. So apparently, there's a new program, a new app called Pokemon Go. And you collect the Pokemons, but instead of those cards that you used to collect, you actually get out into the real world with real maps. Your phone uses the GPS and the maps that are provided, and you go out into the world, and guess what? You see little Pokemons, and you capture them. The point of the game, you capture Pokemons, but to capture them, you need these little Pokeballs. So if you can't run out of Pokeballs, you got to find a place where you can get Pokeballs. You could tell I like saying that word, right? Pokeballs. Anyway, so it's a full game. It's a full game, and I guess it's in its infancy right now, but people are going crazy. And now, all of a sudden, a couple days later, we heard on the news that there are dangers. People are getting into car accidents. People are walking without looking. And so the badges of honor are the bruises on your body. If you have bruises on your shin from falling down, from bumping into things, those are badges of honor because it means you have been looking at your screen. You've been looking at your phone trying to find these Pokemons. So we loaded it up last night, and Susan and I, we went on a walk, and we found a few. I think I've got 3 or 4 now captured, but I did find some fountains, so I got some new Pokeballs, and I'm going to see where this all leads to. But here's the connection for us, okay? I think that what's going to happen with this is going to be an incredible way of stimulating business. I'm sure way beyond what I could even imagine, way beyond. I'm not trying to say that I understand it all, but way beyond what I could imagine. Basically, you're going to want to have these Pokemons at your business, right? Because what happens if there's Pokemons at your business, let's say at a pizza parlor, you could show that there's Pokemons there. Guess what? People are going to come looking for Pokemons. And your hope is that they might buy a pizza, too. See where I'm going with this? Are you jumping ahead? Basically, luring the people in, it's going to be a way of business. These Pokemons are now randomly thrown out, or so they tell us they're randomly thrown out. I did do a check this morning at my church. There's no Pokemons here. I was sad about that. I thought that maybe they'd put a Pokemon. But our Susie was telling us she works at Loyola Law School in the library. And she said that one of her colleagues had turned to her and said, "Susie, look over there. There's a Pokemon on the shelves, the library shelves of the law school." So they've been strategically placed throughout the world. And people are walking around in dazes, looking at their phones, looking to collect these Pokemons. So it would be to your advantage to have these Pokemons at your place of business because it will draw people into your place of business. Now, this is exactly that you didn't need to go to business school to pick this up. You could have gone to Armenian church. You could have gone to Christian churches. You could have gone to Protestant churches, Catholic churches, to see this example. This business model has been outdone at churches for decades. Yes, we bring them in with lures rather than with the product. So going back to that example of the pizza store. Okay, so I'm running a pizza store, and I want to get business. Guess what? If I could find a way of putting more Pokemons in there, it'll get people to come and search for those Pokemons. And while they're doing that, guess what? They will smell the aroma of the pizza. It might stimulate their appetite, and they'll say, "Hey, you know what? While we're here, let's grab a pizza." Right? It's a business plan. That's it. It's a business plan. And we've been doing that in the church all along. And guess what? We're not selling our product. Those people that come in and have the pizza, they're getting a pizza, but that's not what we're selling them on. We're bringing them in with a lure by bringing them in for the Pokemon. Last week, I had a really, really special day. I had my nephew and my brother. My nephew's 8 years old. We went fishing out at Big Bear. And it was so beautiful, you know, to watch an 8-year-old do his casts and the lures. And apparently on TV there's a lure that is electric. And what they tell you on the TV, guaranteed, a catch with every cast. You cast out, you're guaranteed a catch. Now, if you've done any type of fishing, you know that that is a guarantee that is too good to be true, and it is. I couldn't believe it. I went on the net to read reviews, and sure enough, the reviews were all there. It's too good to be true. But you have that idea that if you go out there and you can lure the fish to come and pretend that that's really food for them, you can catch them. Pretending the lure is food. Same way with our churches. This is what we've done. We've pretended that this is why you should come into church. We've had basketball. Come and join our basketball league. Come and join our sports league. There was a church when I was in Pasadena, one of the Armenian Protestant churches. I know, kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Right? One of the Armenian Protestant churches over there had a very successful basketball team. And it was every Friday night. They would bring you in and come and join the basketball team. And a lot of our kids from our church would end up going there. Well, what happens is you get there, and in order to participate in the basketball, you needed to sit through the Bible study. Yeah, the Hellfire Damnation Bible study. Now, you tell me, you're a young kid. You've come to play basketball, and they sit you down and say, listen to this Bible study. How receptive are you going to be to that message? What are you going to be thinking about? Okay, can't wait till this is over. Got to get out. Then we get to play basketball. We've done this successfully with our banquets and our dinners, right? Come and enjoy. There's churches. There's churches that are noted for the food that they make. There are churches that they talk about the St. Peter kebab. They talk about the St. James pilaf. Nobody makes pilaf the way St. James does. You see these food fairs, these bazaars that are organized. Well, what is that telling you? That's telling you that they are luring you in. Because that's not what the function of the church is. It's the lure. It's the bright lure. And guess what? It's too good to be true. Yeah, come in because it's great pilaf and enjoy that. But don't lure me in to say that, by the way, you've now come to church. You've now understood what salvation is. You now understand who Jesus Christ is. You now have an understanding of God's salvific message. And we've done this throughout the world. We continue to do this. We bring people in this Pokemon setup. Come, if we can put a few products together, more people will be there at church. No. You've got the power of God right in the middle of that church. When I think about the Armenian Orthodox expression, what I call armadoxy, away from the trappings. And the trappings are those pilavs. The trappings are those basketballs. What you need to come in for is a food that you will, once you take of it, you will never hunger again. A drink, once you drink, you will never thirst again. That's the promise that Jesus Christ makes, the promise that God makes to you. But we keep going back on this old business model. Let's lure the people in. And I see that Pokemon with this new game, this new app that they have. I mean, that was exactly what it was doing. It got us to walk in a different direction, right? Because we were searching for the Pokemon. Well, we normally take our usual walk. We said, hey, let's go over there because guess what? On our app, we're seeing a small little circle lighting up. We're seeing small little creatures, small little Pokemons. Let's see what's going on over there. And it's fascinating because when you think about it in terms of a business model, it's bringing people to different places. You know, and by the way, I have heard this more often than not in this past week, that it's getting people to walk. It's getting people to enjoy the fresh air. No, it's not. It's getting people to spend. The bandwidth, to spend the data on your phones. It's getting people to come, and it's increasing the shares of the company that developed it. That's what it's about. It's not about your physical or your emotional health. Far from it, if the badges of honor are you being black and blue, right? But people have been convinced of it. And it gives me an opportunity to really think about what we're doing. And it should to every person who is concerned, especially the disenfranchised. These podcasts that we do, The Next Step, what we're talking about is really taking the next step beyond those pilaf dinners, beyond the shish kebab, as tasty as it might be. Guess what? It's not your church that's making that shish kebab. It's not your church that's creating that pilaf. It's Digin Makruhi who's sitting in the back room and with her big arms stirring that pot and making sure that not only is there one cube of butter, but there's two cubes of butter in that recipe. Yeah, it's people that are making it. And don't fool yourself. That's not what church is. Church gives you an opportunity to partake in something that is beyond your imagination. Beyond your stomach, your digestive juices. Church is offering Jesus Christ. And that's a prize beyond Pokemons, beyond all kinds of things. That's a prize that guarantees you eternal life. And that's given to you as a promise by the creator of the universe. Think about it in those terms. Yeah, I think Pokemon's going to be a big hit. I think a lot of people are going to be buying into this. I think it's a fantastic business model. But business is not what we're about. It's not about adding those extra dollars to the coffers, making sure people come to church because Pokemon might be on the altar. Yes, as absurd as that sounds, that's what we do when we say, let them come to church because we have a great basketball team. Let them come to church because our fashion shows are the best. Guess what? We will fill up a hall for the fashion show and our church will be empty. To me, that's a failure of the business model because the business model should be encouraging that business itself. Just like any other business, just like the restaurant that I talked about, the pizza parlor. If you can't get people to come in and enjoy your pizza, maybe your pizza doesn't taste good. Maybe it's not a good pizza. If you're going to attract them by having a Pokemon set up over there, then you're saying that there's another reason why you need to come. Now, that's okay in the business world, but it can't be for the church. Because what we're talking about is salvation. We're talking about something that is greater than the self. We can't just throw God into that pile and say, okay, here's another business. We want to create a church where people come. For what? For what? I've sat at too many meetings like this, and I know you have too. If you're involved in the church, I know that's probably the biggest turnoff, right? You've gone into a church and you want to get involved, and they'll stick you on a committee that says, okay, let's start talking about next year's fashion show. They'll stick you on a committee and they'll say, okay, let's talk about how we can improve our dinners so we can get more people in there. And meanwhile, your churches are empty. Meanwhile, the salvation message is going unheard. Can we pump ourselves up and believe in our products? Can we believe in that pizza so we say that, you know what? People are coming to our pizza parlor despite whether there's a Pokemon or not. Can we say that about our church? People are coming to our church because there's salvation, because Jesus Christ is there in the midst. Whether there's a Pokemon at the altar, whether the celebrant is wearing ornate vestments, whether our church has a gold dome or not, they're coming because the real message is inside. And you look throughout Scripture, you look throughout the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus provided the very best to every one of his children, provided them complete recovery, provided them with a wholeness that they couldn't get outside. The feeding of the 5,000, right? There you go. People had come to eat. They ate. They were satisfied. Jesus was talking about something way beyond that. Taking care of the physical needs, okay. But guess what? I have something to offer you that's even greater than that meal that you ate. And he says this over and over and over again. You come for the miracles, but really you're not seeing what the kingdom is all about. The kingdom of God is right now. The kingdom of God has been enacted. The kingdom of God is taking place within the church, within the body of believers, within that collect. And when you understand that, you understand that that's something that you strive for. That's the business that you need to strengthen by offering the product. Not the gimmicks, not the hoopla. And so Pokemon, yeah, it's going to be great. It also gives us an opportunity to reflect on our own personal circumstances within the church, as well as without the church. Where are we? Have we been disenchanted because of this kind of business that's been played out in the church? Some thoughts, some connecting the dots on something popular and something that's going on. Think about it. Here's Susie to tell you what we're doing over here. Yeah, it's our commercial too.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that message. And thank you to all of you who are supportive of this ministry. I'm not going to say anything different. You know, it's like we're not giving you gimmicks. We're just telling you what it is, right? I'm not giving you extras or anything like that. Yeah, occasionally we will thank you by sending you a CD here or there. But guess what? It's not CDs that are created by other people. It's CDs that we've created. Or it's by music, by talent that we have put together, that we produce over here through the In His Shoes ministry. So I want to thank you for your prayers, your loyal support and following. Probably the biggest thing that you can do for us right now, beyond all the donations and the prayers, is make that prayer a living prayer by participating in getting the message out. Share these podcasts. Share this message with other people. If you believe in it, share it. If you don't, you know, God bless you. Nobody's criticizing you. This is what we believe. It's Armadoxy. It's Armenian Orthodoxy stripped away of all the hoopla. And we put it all together. Every week we come to you. We come into your houses, into your cars, into your earbuds, wherever it may be, via this podcast. Yes, we are in our ninth year of podcasting every Thursday. If you want to encourage it, like Susie said, get on our website, inhisshoes.org or epostle.net. Press on the donate button. Your donations go a long way. A lot of stuff coming up in the next few months. I hope I'll have a chance to visit with all of you. That's also one of the things that you can do, is invite us to come down to your community. Come and talk to people. Come and share the In His Shoes message. We're going to be out in Australia, down under, hopefully end of October. We're working on the details with dear listener Laura and with the community over there, with the diocese over there. And hopefully, if all goes well, God willing, we should be in Australia to share the message and share a lot of the joy of the Armenian Orthodox faith, Armadoxy, with people. So if you're inclined to have us come and join you, bombard you with the message, do invite us. that's also a fun thing to do. Hey, listen, we are at the end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. And most of all, I hope we gave you some points to think about, some food for thought, something that you can digest and kick around. Love to hear from you. You can drop me a line at epostle. It is feedback@epostle.net. The name epostle, really easy to remember. It's apostle with an E because it's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding multiverse. Yeah, we got rid of the universe. It's multiverse. We're just accepting it. I'm going to come back next week, share with you some stuff that we've been reading too. But until then, I want you to join us on Facebook as well as on the mothership inhisshoes.org. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Ken, our engineer, and Susie, our producer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for download at epostle.net, iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, or on your favorite podcatcher. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath, cut out.